How many of you ever had anything bad happen in your life and you kind of were taken back by that and started maybe questioning God or even stopped going to church or kind of went into a little bit of a depression? How many of you ever had anything like that happen in your life? Yeah. Thank you for raising your hands. Most of us have, actually. Had things bad happen. Some people blame God. We're going to be starting chapter 9 this week in Romans, and today we're going to be talking about kind of our overview of chapter 9, 10, and 11, and it really is talking about the people of Israel have left God, and God has now opened up, this is really good news for us, has opened up salvation for the Gentiles. And his hope is that the Israelite people will come back into fellowship. And so I want to read, it's a lengthy text in Job chapter 38, if you want to turn there. I want to read this because Job had the same sort of problems that we did. I mean, he had houses burned down, and he had cattle die, and he had relatives pass away, and all that kind of stuff. And so he was kind of questioning God for a moment. And then God responds to him in Job chapter 38, starting with verse 4. And I think it's kind of a humorous statement. God is kind of sticking a cattle prod, okay? He's kind of sticking Job in the ribs. Job 38, starting with verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who set its measurements, since you know, or who stretched the line on it? On what were the its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth, it went out from its womb. When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its saddling band, and I placed boundaries on it, and I set a bolt on its doors, and I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves stop. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it may take hold of its ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth in the garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, but the uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked into the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of the deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. God is telling Job, tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is this place that you may take it to its territory and that you may discern the paths of to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I have reserved for the time of disaster, for the day of war and battle? Where is the way of the light is divided, or the east wind scattered the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt? To bring rain on a land without people, on a desert without a man in it, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass or to sprout. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of the heaven? Who has given its birth? Water becomes hard like stone, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Or loose the cords of Orion? You may lead forth the constellations in its season and guide the bear with its satellites. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that the abundance of water will cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind? All of these things God has done for us. And so many times we just take them for granted, or we go on with our life not knowing and understanding who God is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for our time of worship today, and I pray that as we listen today, and as we sing your worship songs, and as we fellowship around the table today, that you will show us who you are. And even though hard times and difficult times come, that we know that there's nothing that can separate your love from us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 9. Seems like we've been in chapter 8 for a really long time. Chapter 9, we're going to be looking at the first 5 verses and really not spending a lot of time talking about each of the verses and each of the words like I typically do, but kind of an overview this morning. Romans 9, 1 through 5. It says, I am telling you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory of the covenants with the giving of the law and the temple service and the promise, whose are fathers from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Did you get that last part? Who is over all, God blessed forever. The Israelites we're talking about today. I have a short story from my Chuck Swindoll book, and the title of the area that I took it from is called Submission. Sometimes things are not what they seem. Would you agree with that? I told a story, and I think I might have mentioned it here years ago, about Lori's grandma, who was a devout lady, Christian most of her life. In fact, when she told her dad that she had accepted Christ as her Savior, her dad got mad at her because, after all, she had grown up in the church, but now she was a believer. There was this next-door neighbor that had children, small children, and the husband and the wife would go to the bar in the evenings and drink, and the kids were home alone. And one time, this child came knocking on their door and taking, and grandma, Adele, of course, being a godly woman, helped this child. And all of a sudden, she thought, you know what? They need their mother. They need their mother. So she went, left the children, went to the bar, grabbed the mom, and said, your children are sick. They need you. They came out and went home. As she was coming out of the bar, some ladies from the church saw her coming out of the bar. And what do you suppose happened? Yes. Things are not always as they seem. And we are so quick to judge. Listen to this story. The captain of the ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately, he told a single man to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. To the south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored, and so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am Seaman, Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent a third message, knowing that the fear would invoke. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship. Now, how many at this point would say, I better do what he says? The reply came, alter your 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse. Things are not always as they seem. And especially as we walk this life. Sometimes we walk away from the Lord. And what his intention was originally is to bring us closer to him. And the Bible even tells us in Peter that in this world you will have trials and tribulations, difficulties. I don't have to ask. I don't even have to raise a hand. How many have had difficulties in your life? I know the answer. Because the Bible tells us, Joel found out, as we had in our call to worship, that God is in control of his life. God did not leave him, but yet he had a different plan for his life. So my hope for you today is that you would take all of your wishes, all of your dreams, all of your passions, and lay them at the feet of Jesus and say, can I take them? Can I use them for your honor and glory? That's what I hope for today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your work in our lives. And we thank you for the example of the Israelites in our text today. Lord, I pray that you'll continually teach us to serve you, to become more like you. So at the end, when we see you in glory, it'll be an amazing time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So who are the Israelites anyways? Were they important in the past? Yes. Are they important today? Oh, yeah. Are they important in the future? Yeah? Oh, yeah, they are. Very, very important. So we're going to talk today about the first three verses, and we're going to find out why God has sort of left the Israelites alone for a period of time. And really what our goal is that we can understand that God's ways are different than our ways. We've already talked about that. And that what God is looking for is confession, humbly accepting him, coming back to him with whole heart. Before we talk a little bit more about chapter 9, I need to look at the last three verses in chapter 8. So if you still have your Bibles open, we'll be looking at verses 37, 38, and 39. And it says, but in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ and Jesus our Lord. Now we know that nothing can separate us. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that nothing can separate us from what? The love of God. Do you believe that this morning? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So as we look at chapter 9 and the first five verses, we find Paul kind of apologizing for his brethren, which are who? The Israelites. He's sort of apologizing. In fact, he wishes that he could trade places with them. I remember our oldest had pneumonia when he was under one, probably, right? 15 months old. How many parents are in the room? Raise your hand, nice and tall. Your kids have been sick. Very sick. Would you trade places with your child? In a heartbeat. I wished that I could have been laying in that bed. Had a board strapped to his leg so he wouldn't knock off the IVs. It was horrible. They asked us to leave, of all things. Get mom and dad out of there so we can do our work. Paul was chosen by God to be the voice box to the Gentile people. And the people of Israel thought they had a corner on the market, didn't they? They thought that God was their God and that nothing was going to separate that love that God had for them, the God of the heavens and the earth, God of their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nothing could separate them. But here now the people of the Gentile people are being accepted into God's family. And so Paul wishes that his relatives would come back in the fellowship of the believers. And instead, it seems like God has sort of forgotten about them. It seems as though God has forgotten about them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Things aren't as they appear, but it seems like God has forgotten about them. Our speaker at Men's Roundup this year, wonderful speaker, really enjoyed him. But he said that whenever he's preaching and he uses one of his kids as an example, he has to pay them $20. I wouldn't dare do that because I'd have to go back quite a ways and it would break the bank. But I have a story about Christy today that I may have shared in the past. But Christy, like most children, didn't listen real well when she was younger. And we were at a park and having a good time, and I don't know how old she was. She's about this big. And we told her not to go very far. You know, we didn't want her to get out of our sight. And so, but she was wandering away. And so, yeah, there she is. That was about how old she was, too. And so Lori and I decided that we would slip away. And so we went to the car, and we were sitting in the car, and I think it would have worked. I think she would have come to her senses, and she would have said, "Oh no, where are mom and dad?" But we had to intervene. There was a stranger coming in and starting to approach her, and so we had to intervene. But this is kind of what Paul is starting to say and tell us in chapter 9. The Israelites have wandered away. They've been disobedient. And I have stepped away hoping that the Israelites will come back. And they will. So I want to read to you again the first five verses here, first five chapters. Where's my $20? I got $4 on me. I was at a youth conference years and years ago. I was at probably junior high school, I can't remember who the special singers were. They were kind of doing the conference, and he was one of those kind of preachers that went on and on and on. How many have been at an evangelical message, and the preacher just goes, you know, "Come forward, everybody," and they go on and on for another half hour, okay? So he's trying to take the offering, and he says, after about 15 minutes of taking the offering, he says, "How many of you know exactly what's in your billfold?" "I know, I got $4. Romans 9, 1 through 5. Again, "I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and increasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are the Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants that are given of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are there of the fathers, and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So who are the Israelites? What's that? God's chosen people. But I'm pretty special. God tells me that. Are you special, Eileen? Are you special? Do you belong to the family of God? God chose the Israelites, and they are special. And in other places in Scripture, he says that if you come to me, humble yourselves before me, I have chosen you. You are adopted then at that point into the family of God. Amen? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be blessed, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by the going out into a place by which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder was God. Was that here on earth? The city? Listen to this. For he was looking for a city which the foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is not here. He was looking for the city that Jesus went to prepare for us. That's what he was hoping for, and that's what he eventually got. So God called Abram to be the father of a chosen race. Abram submitted his own desires to follow God, and we need to do the same. So many times we go through life, bad things happen, someone says something bad, something, whatever happens, we lose track of what reality is, that God would never leave us and God's love would never separate us. Bitterness sets in, unforgiveness sets in, and we go our own way and we leave God alone. And that's what the people of Israel have done. And we're going to find out in the next few weeks that God has not left the people of Israel. But he's sort of stepped back a little bit, hoping that they'll come back into full fellowship. And I hope if I have described you today as stepping away from him, come back into the fold. God has not left you. You have left him. Amen. If I were to tell you what the theme was for the next three chapters in Romans, chapters 9, 10, 11, it'd be mercy. Mercy. And that's exactly what each of us needs, isn't it? Because we've all fallen away from him. And it's because of his mercy that he brings us back to him. Romans chapter 10, so right kind of a smack dab in the middle of the next three chapters, verses 9 through 13, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.